All of us in this building tonight, I'm referencing the adults right now, especially, because many of you here tonight have children. All ages are represented here tonight. Some are here with their children. Some are young children. Some are teenagers. There are others of us that are here tonight. We have grown children, but they're still our children. And for each one of us that has a child, we have a gift. That is a gift that God has placed in our hands. Now, they may not seem like a gift all the time, but they are a gift. They're called a heritage in Psalm 127, verse 3. They're as arrows. They're supposed to be anyway in our bow. And we're supposed to aim right and shoot them into this world correctly. Well, the devil, and I said this to the preachers yesterday, the devil has his guns pointed especially at two institutions. The church, and when I reference the church, I'm talking about a church like this church, and Brother Decker, your church, a church that preaches the gospel, people get saved, lives get changed. Then the other institution is the home and the family. And to me, especially, and it's not just today, I was a youth director years ago, and it was the same then. I believe the devil is not only attacking the family, but he especially has a very powerful attack upon our youth, upon our young people. And he's trying to do several things I want to deal with tonight, but I also want to deal with the personal responsibility that all of us here tonight as parents, grandparents, we include teachers, whether that's in a public or Christian school or Sunday school, we actually can include all adults. Because when it comes to our youth, we have a responsibility to help protect them. Because I want you to know, and I believe when I get finished tonight, you'll agree 100%, the devil has a plan. And he's been operating this plan for a long time. And he's after our children, after our young people. We need to be very aware of his attack. Now, I want you to follow with me in the Bible tonight. First of all, turning to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Now, Psalm 91, this is a great psalm. In fact, the whole psalm is wonderful. It's great. There's no person that is described that penned this psalm. Some people think it's Moses who did it. Could have been. I don't know. No one really knows. Could have been David. But regardless, it's a very powerful psalm. And if you look at verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that God has his protection upon everyone. This is a very special person here. It's not only a Christian, but it's a Christian that's abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a Christian who's right with God, who's in fellowship with the Lord. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now that snare of the fowler is what I want us to really focus on. Because, you know, when a hunter, and I'm not a hunter, but I have hunted before, but I'm not really a hunter. But I know this about somebody who hunts. They set traps, snares, to catch their prey. Now, that's exactly a good illustration, and that's why the Lord uses this, of the devil in his powerful attack upon all of us. But tonight, I believe he has a very special, powerful attack upon our youth. And he's described, I want you to see this passage. If you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, he's described here in 1 Peter chapter 5 as the devil setting traps, as the devil setting snares, because that's what a snare is, a trap, in order to catch and devour, well, any of us, but especially at this part tonight, we're focusing upon our young people. Look at 1 Peter 5:8. He said, be sober. It's important. Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, that's how he's described, walking about, seeking whom he may desire. Notice the word whom. He didn't say what. He didn't say seeking what he may devour. It's a whom. It's people. And we think about young people tonight, and I want us to think about that, how powerful this attack is upon our youth. And we all know this as adults. Every adult in here tonight, I can tell you this, every single adult in here tonight can think of somebody right now, especially, it really doesn't matter any age here tonight as an adult. You can probably think back of some friends that you had or even acquaintances that you had, especially friends, and especially if you were saved when you were younger. And those friends are not living for God today. In fact, some of them are messed up. Now, I can say that because I have friends like that. I had a lot of friends when I had a youth group, because I had a large youth group. And I had a lot of those young people who were my friends. And some of them really lived for the Lord. Some of them were innocent and pure and right. And tonight, some of them are not. Now, some of them are. But some of those young people I'm thinking of, they're not young people now, they're adults. You can't find them in church. You can't find them serving the Lord. Because the devil has these traps set. The snare of the devil. Trying to catch these young people. And I want us to look at several snares, several traps tonight. Number one, there is the trap, the snare of worldliness. The Bible tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And this is a battle that all of us have. This isn't just a battle with young people. It starts in our youth, especially when a young person is saved, but even if they're not. The world has such a strong pull tonight. Wish I could say it didn't, but it does. And the world has so many avenues to use. Really does. I wish I could say that Christians had the television set. But it's the world that has the television. I wish I could say that it was the Christians who had all movies under control and right and good. And by the way, there are some excellent Christian movies. I've seen many of them over the course of my ministry. But Christians don't have control of that. And we don't have control of most of the things in the world. Now, there's a reason for that. Because the devil is described in the Bible as the god, little g, of this worldly system. So he has set the trap not only for young people, but also for adults. But boy, if he can catch a young person and he can get their life young and mess them up young and get them into the world young, then he can possibly ruin their whole life. Now, any Christian can come back to the Lord. Any person who is even raised in a church, but yet not really saved, can get saved when they get older. There's no doubt about any of that. But I'll tell you something. The best way to have a person's life is to hear the gospel young and get saved. The younger, the better, where they can understand the gospel and get saved and have their life totally given to the Lord and their life on track. But I'll tell you, the devil doesn't want that. He's out to destroy that. Now, let me show you another passage here. Turn to James chapter 4, because James has something to say about this. In James chapter 4, and look with me at verse 4. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Now, that's not talking about relationships between men and women and being an adulterer. It's really referencing spiritual adultery, which, by the way, any of us can fall into. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Now, this isn't written to lost people here or talking about lost people. This is referencing all of us who are saved tonight. So he said, do you not realize, speaking to all our hearts, that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? In other words, that's against God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, I don't believe there's one Christian in this building tonight that wants to be an, if you're a Christian, you're here tonight, you don't want to be an enemy of God. None of us do. I don't believe any of these young people want to be an enemy of God. They want to live for the Lord. They want to serve the Lord. But we've got to realize how powerful this attack of Satan is. Some of the finest young people I've ever known. And Pastor Nathan could give, I'm telling you, he could back me up on this. I only worked with young people 14 years. He worked with young people 18 years. I'm just a little bit like this. He's all like that, see? That's, you saw it tonight. You saw what he did, and that's why. He's still wired from that. He's affected. He's been burned out by that. But he knows this is true, and any pastor knows this. Any youth pastor knows this, and anybody who's ever worked with young people knows this. That some of the finest young people there could ever be, the devil could get in their life. I'm not trying to scare anybody tonight. I'm trying to get all of us to look at reality and look at the Bible. Because there is this attack upon our youth. This is not a game. This is not a game. The devil is not fake. The devil is not a figment of our imagination. He is a real person. Fell from heaven to earth. Why? Because he rebelled against God. And he's not alone. He has an army. He can't outmatch God, but he's got an army because other angels fell with him. They're called demons, and don't misunderstand that. A lot of times people talk, oh, demons, spooky, yeah, oh, demons. Demons are real, true personalities, fallen angels. And they're not on the defense, brother. They're on the offense. What do you mean by that? Well, when you're on the offense, like in football, I know what happens when you're on the offense. You're charging. You're not backing up. That's when you're on the defense. Have you ever watched a defensive back? When the quarterback goes back with the ball, you know what he does? He backpedals. Well, he's not backpedaling because he's afraid of the quarterback. He's backpedaling because he's watching these guys that are going out for a pass. The devil's not backing up. He's charging. He's attacking. And All of us need to be aware, every child in here, every young person, all of us as adults, we need to realize this is a trap. This is a snare of the devil. See, the devil wants to take the innocence of a young person, take it away from them. He wants to steal their purity. Do you think the devil wants any young, really, in reality, do you think the devil wants any young person to remain pure, to stay pure, to date pure, to marry pure, and to raise a family like that? The devil doesn't want that. And so he has this very powerful attack. Here's a second trap. It's the snare, the trap of bad friends. Maybe I should say a bad friend. Because it doesn't really take a whole group of bad friends to ruin a young person's life or an adult's life. It only takes one bad friend to do that. I'll show you another passage. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1 real quickly. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1. And look with me at verse 7. Now this is great advice, by the way, but not only advice, commandment. For every young person here tonight, look at the passage with me. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You want really knowledge? Then you need to have reverential fear of the Lord, respect and love toward him. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. That doesn't mean if a young person is in a home, a Christian home, and they have a Christian mom, Christian dad, or both are saved, that's chains around their neck and it's horrible. That's talking about protection. Protection for a young person's life. But notice the warning in verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive and whole as the grave and those that go down to the pit. Verse 13, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. That doesn't mean the men have purses also. Because a man shouldn't have a purse, should they? I mean, you know, I don't want to carry a purse. Now, once in a while, I have to carry my wife's purse. I really do. Because it weighs about 2,500 pounds. And I see her struggling with that suitcase. Now, this is the truth. I'll say, let me carry that for you. Oh, no, Ron, you don't care. And if I carry that purse, I don't carry it like this. I carry it like a football, like that. And I don't want to carry a purse around, but that's not what this means. It means let's all be together. Let's all do it together. Verse 15, my son, walk not thou. Now here's the warning, not with them, and go in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Why? Verse 16, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. This is another trap that the devil wants to catch young people in. And wreck and ruin their life. It doesn't happen to some, it happens to many. And let me tell you something tonight. Every young person in here, every adult, every one of us tonight, we need to realize how important friends are. And what I mean by that are the right kind of friends. Because if we get one wrong friend in our life, it can ruin us forever. I've seen it happen so many times. Not just the young people, but adults also. And I know a whole gang of friends can really have an impact on a young person's life or an adult's life, but just one bad friend. One bad friend. See, we ought to have friends that can pray with us. We ought to have friends that can pray for us. Because those are real friends. We ought to have friends that read the Bible. Go to church, and they're faithful. All this is, it's a trap. It's a snare the devil wants to catch us in. And oh, does he want to catch these young people. Does he want to ruin their life? Yes, he does. Here's a third one, a third snare, a third trap, is the snare, the trap of immorality. And boy, that's a powerful one. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians, if you would. Chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we find this warning here. Speaking to all of us who are saved. And what Paul is saying here, he's saying, wait a minute, as a Christian, be very careful. Be very careful. Because as he says, be not deceived. He gives us a warning not to be deceived, because many people are deceived today, even the very elect. What do you mean by that? Saved people. People who know the Lord can be deceived. Young people who know the Lord can be deceived. You need to be careful. We all need to be careful. And then he says this, how we can be deceived. He says, evil communications corrupt good manners. Now look at it again. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Well, what does that mean? Well, that word communications in the Greek does not mean communicating to someone, speaking to someone. That's not what that word means in the Greek. It simply means company. You see the word manners? The word manners here does not really mean having manners, although that's good to have. It literally means morals. So read it in that context. Evil company corrupts good morals. Not once in a while. Every single time we get the wrong company. And how many young people has this happened to? And I'm not just talking about young people. I'm talking about people who are adults now. And it happened to them in their youth. Or it's maybe happening to them right now in their 20s or 30s or above. Because they got involved with the wrong person. And listen, this is just normal for young people when they get in there. Oh, yes. Now, this is a girl, by the way. I don't like to do that, but I'm just illustrating to you. Oh, I tell you, if I just had a boyfriend. And I want to be in love. And then the guy's like, oh, I wish I had a girlfriend. You never will. Not if you act like that. And listen, I'm not against young people dating. Let me tell you something. Young people here tonight, children, let me. I am not against young people dating. In fact, I used to encourage it in my youth group all the time. I wanted my young people to date when they got old enough, 36, 37, 38. Won all those adults, lost all the young people. But really, I used to tell the guys in my youth group, I said, you don't even deserve to have a date. Holy, you don't need a date. You can't even see correctly yet. And one of the things I was telling, listen, like that word manners there, it actually means morals. Well, thinking of the word actual manners, how many boys really have manners? And I would tell, listen, if you are fortunate to get a date, make sure that you open the door for the girl. And don't wait till they get halfway through. You got her, boom, you know. Open the door for the girl. Allow her to go through or into the car. Don't wait till she's halfway in. Yum, you know. Just got her arm cut off, that's all. It's unbelievable how guys are, though, about girls. Now, guys are not this way. They shouldn't be anyway. I know I'm not this way. I don't believe more guys are this way, at least most, at least. If they're a real guy. And if they're not a real guy, maybe they ought to hit themselves up against a wall once in a while and make themselves a guy. I don't know. But guys don't primp and, you know, go like that and make sure, you know. We don't do that. Hey, it's time to go. All right, let's go. Yeah, I'm ready to go. Yeah, I'm ready. Now, girls are not that way. Oh, they're primping. Yes, we're going to make that. And I'll tell you, they go up. Now, if a guy goes and gets a haircut, it's a thing I don't care about doing, go and get a haircut. But when a guy goes and gets a haircut, yeah, cut it. You know, go ahead, get a cut. And sometimes, boy, they really cut it, you know. But a guy doesn't care that much. Hey, it looks like a little bit too much. That's not the way a girl is. She's going to go to the beauty shop. And it's going to take her 5 days, number one. And when she goes to that beauty shop, she's going to have everything done to that hair and that head. I mean, she's going to have it cut and sawed and butchered and changed, maybe colored. Who knows? I mean, it's going all kinds of things are going to go on during those 5 days. But this is just the way a woman is. Now, a guy doesn't come out of a barbershop and go, oh, I hope I look okay. I really do. I just, oh, man. A girl does. Comes out of it, yes. Oh, I hope I look all right. And you know, if another lady or another girl would say, oh, I love your hair, that's okay. But that's not what they really want. And especially a teenage girl. They want the compliment from a guy. But the problem is the weak manners that they have. Here's a girl who went to that beauty shop for 5 days. Finally goes to school. She was over the weekend, went to school finally on Tuesday. And she's walking down the middle of the hall with her best friend. And they're talking, you know, and they look up and they see these two doofuses coming toward them. And by the way, you do know what a doofus is, don't you? The doof, they're all over the place. And all of a sudden, she heard the one doofus say to the other, pointing at her, ah! What happened to you? Did you get caught in a fan? Talking about her new hairdo. You know, cut, fan, that was a cut. You know, that's what that was. You'll get it later. But that's just the way guys are. But I want you to understand this. I want you to let this verse sink in. It's not every once in a while. It's every time we have evil company. It's going to destroy the morals. How many young people has that happened to? I'm telling you. How many, could you count them, Brother Nathan? I can't count the ones that happened in my youth group. I know you've had this happen. Girl comes into my office and makes this statement. Now, Brother Riley, I know I shouldn't be dating this guy. Hey, I'm with you on that. You shouldn't be. Because he doesn't live for God. Well, I'm trying to get him to live for God. Well, number one, he might not even be saved. And in many cases, the guy's not saved. But I'm going to change him. I'm going to get him. Listen, and I'll tell you another thing, Brother Riley. He doesn't live right. Well, that tells me he's trying to get her not to live right. Now, he doesn't live right, but I'll tell you something, Brother Riley. I'm not going to live like he lives. Couldn't tell you how many times I had that statement made to me, not only by girls, but even by guys, about a girl. Well, they're not, I'll tell you, they're not going to change me. I'm not going to go down their level. I'm going to influence them. I'm not going to live like they do. Some of those girls, especially now girls I'm thinking about, will be back in my office before the year would be up with their head in their hands and the tears flowing down, said, Brother Riley, I just didn't want to ever go that far. I didn't want to get involved. I'm pregnant. That didn't just happen one time, but many times in 14 years. The devil is not dead. He's alive. And he wants our youth. And this is just another snare here, another trap that he's setting. Here's another one. Actually, the last one. And it's a snare, a trap of rebellion. So much of this, by the way, we're told. In fact, I want you to see these passages. Turn back with me to 2 Samuel. I hope I have this marked. I think I do. 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15. Now, you're probably familiar with this verse. Actually, it's a great passage right here. But just the verse 23, the Lord describing what rebellion is all about. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Well, that's not good. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, idol worship. He compares it to witchcraft. He compares it to idol worship. And the thing about it, I hear people make fun of, you know, just kind of make light of that. You know, they're in rebellion. That's not something to laugh about. Rebellion is a serious sin. And it is a sin. And there are many young people and adults that are in rebellion. It's not just young people that get in rebellion. There are adults that get in rebellion. We've all seen that, especially we that are in the ministry. We see this all the time with people. It's not just youth that this happens to. It is amazing how many adults are still rebellious at 50, 60, and 70 years of age. Honestly. It's like the guy that left his wife 60-some years of age. I think he was 62, 63 years old. And by the way, that's still young. But not to these people. Not to these young people. Now, you know, 60, man, 30, wow, 25. That's I'll never be that old. You know, that's the way they think. But that's still young. But he's an older gentleman, been married for years and years. Children now raised, and he leaves his wife. And so I was asked to go visit him. I was the staff member sent to visit him. He's now in a trailer. He left his wife. He's got this trailer, and he's living in this trailer. Now, this it's unbelievable. I knocked on the door. He opened the door. And this was the greeting he gave to me as a 62 or 3-year-old guy. The door opened. He goes, "Hey, Brother Riley." I thought, "Who are you, Fonzie? You know, what in the world is that?" Now, here's the thing. He's 62, 3 years old. He's got a gold chain around. Nothing wrong with gold chain, but he's got a gold chain hanging around his neck like a kid. He's got his shirt halfway unbuttoned with a little hair sticking out there, and he's standing there with his chest sticking out. And here's the thing. He had jeans on. There's nothing. I'm saying there's nothing wrong with jeans. If a guy wears jeans, fine. But these jeans were the tightest jeans I'd ever seen on a person. And I'll tell you why they were tight. He was fat. That's why they were tight. And he's standing there. "Hey, Brother Riley." And he's living there with a 20-year-old girl. That's called sin. And I'll tell you, it's called rebellion. I'm going to describe several types of rebels. You might want to write some of these things down. There's several of them. Number one, a resentful rebel. There's a lot of these kind of rebels. A rebel that's full of resentment. Because each one of these rebels has marks. They have a mark where you can tell who they are. Here's the marks of a resentful rebel. Number one, they have a lot of anger. They're full of anger. They're always flying off the handle. Number two, they're full of bitterness. The resentful rebel. How many young people do I know like this today? So resentful against their parents. Some of them won't let their parents know that. Some of them will. But they're full of bitterness. They're not only angry at their parents. Listen, I had a girl sit in my office one day. This is not a boy. This is a girl. And she takes her fist, a girl. And she slams that fist on my desk and says, "I hate my parents." full of anger, full of bitterness. And then a third mark is they have an unforgiving spirit. Every young person, every child in this room tonight need to understand, no home has perfect people in them. No child has a perfect parent. None. Parents make mistakes, just like children do and young people do. Parents can even mess up. We're all human beings. We're all frail. We have temptations we face every single day. And any of us can fall into some temptation. And I get a kick out of young people. I've heard young people say that, well, I wish so-and-so was my mother. You might be shocked out of your mind if so-and-so was your mother. The grass isn't greener on the other side. But there's so many young people like this. Then there's the reckless rebel. They're reckless in several areas of their life. They're reckless with their speech. They're reckless with their feelings. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, a lot of young people have very reckless speech. A lot of adults do also. There's a lot of young people that use the wrong kind of words to their friends. They use the wrong kind of words to their parents. I've heard young people say, shut up, to their parents. I've heard young people to their mother say, shut up. Like the boy that said to his mother, shut up, you old lady. And his mother was trying to deal with a problem with him and trying to help him. And he slammed the door as he went out of the house. And you're not going to tell me what to do. Rebellious, full of anger, resentment, bitterness. And those words were coming out. And I'll tell you something else. He yells through the screen door, you can go to hell. He didn't know those were the last words he'd ever say. None of us ever do. He got in his car, brand new Corvette, maybe that was part of his problem. Drove out of the driveway and picked up his best friend. He's going in town, clocking over 50. His sister is walking down the sidewalk with her best friend and sees her brother's car come around the corner. He loses control of the car, hits a curb, hydroplanes into a tree, both 16-year-olds, no seat belts, too cool. Went right through the windshields. Neither one of them ever spoke again. You know, I thought about that. He never got to tell his mother, I'm sorry, Mom. I shouldn't have talked that way. Reckless words and then reckless feelings. So many times young people put their feelings in the wrong place. What kind of feelings do you have toward your parents? What kind of thoughts do you have toward your parents? The devil's at work. Then there's reckless actions. Reckless actions goes right along with a reckless life. Everything they do, everything they say, it's reckless. Then there's two go together. There's what I call the robot rebel and the radical rebel. They go hand in hand because the robot rebel is what I call inward rebellion. The radical rebel is the outward rebellion. And there is a difference. Now, here's the marks of a robot rebel. They masquerade as a goody-goody. They think they are fooling everyone, but they're not. They are very self-centered and sneaky. That's the inward. Here's the outward. Anger is open and on display. Hurt and destruction is in their path, and they are self-destructive. Now let me show them to you. Here is the outward rebellion. Junior, I'm just calling him Junior. Name me probably something else. Junior, I want you to take out the trash. And I want you to cut the yard. It's your turn to do it. I want you to do that right now. Here's outward rebellion. Boom! No! Not gonna do it. Listen, if you've got one like that, Mom, Dad, you don't have to scratch your head and say, I wonder if they're rebellious. That's pretty obvious. In fact, I don't know how to get a hold of one of those. Listen, you are going to cut the grass. In fact, you'll use your teeth. You are going to take that garbage out. You can eat some of it also. Well, I don't really think, I think the other one, the robot rebel, the fake, probably is the worst one. At least this one, the radical rebel, you know where they stand. I mean, you know, it's obvious they're rebellious. But that sneaky one, that's the one when they're told by Mom. Now, Junior, let me throw in also Juniorette. Because it's not just Junior. Could be Juniorette.
That's the girl.
Now, Junior, Juniorette, I want you to go in your room and clean your room up. It's been 5 years since you've done that. And you need to make the bed while you're at it. Now, here's the fake, the sneak, the robot rebel. Just do everything they're told to do. I'm going to do it right now. Here I go to my room. By the way, tell Dad, here I go right now. I'm going to make my bed. I'm going to clean my room. I'm a robot Christian, I'm a robot Christian. Here I go in my room, now my door is closed. Now I'm alone, Mommy can't see me. Now I'll clean my room. You say, now what about Brother I? They're cleaning the room. There's something missing in this room. Is it a brain? Maybe, possibly. You know what's missing? In this picture right here, young people are commanded from the Lord to give obedience to their parents. But that's not all they're commanded to give. If you look at Ephesians 6, verse 1 and 2, it's clear that a young person is not just to obey, but to give honor. And this is an honor. When Mom and Dad or Mom or Dad tells them what to do and they go around behind their back and totally dishonor them. And by the way, this is an honor, this picture. Therefore, it's not obedience. Because honor and obedience go hand in hand. Wait a minute. This is not honor when a young person sits with their friends and verbally with their friends cut down their parents. Talk about them in negative. That's not honor. This is not honor when a guy or a girl or a man or a woman listens to their boyfriend or girlfriend or some peer over their mom and dad. That's not honor. And God instructs us, in fact, commands us to give obedience and honor to mom and dad. And yet so many young people have fallen into this trap. The devil's smart. He's clever. And he's powerful. And he wants to catch our young people in these snares. And when it comes to this, now listen to me. All of us here tonight as adults, from parents to grandparents, teachers in here tonight, some of you teach Sunday school, some of you may teach in a public school, Christian school. All adults here tonight, even single adults, we have a responsibility when it comes to our children. And this is how I want to end the message tonight. There's several things we need to do for our young people. Number one, we need to inform them. Now, how do we inform them? Through teaching. That's why every family should read the Bible together. So we can, now I'm not talking about reading the Bible at church, I'm talking about in our homes. And this is one of the first things the devil tries to do. He tries to get the Bible out of a home. He doesn't mind if the Bible sits there. He just doesn't want the Bible read. But this is instruction for our youth. These are the ways we can teach our young people unbelievable important principles that are found in the Bible. Bible reading and prayer. Because a family ought to know what it is to pray together. Our children should hear us praying, just like tonight when Pastor Nathan called for prayer for this very important thing that's happening. This is an unbelievable teaching time for the children here, for the young people here tonight, because listen, God answers prayer. And when a family prays together, children see that. We have an unbelievable responsibility to inform them. All of you that are here tonight that aren't married, you don't have a family yet, but you're an adult. You have this responsibility also to help inform our young people in the correct way. That's what's important about being a good Sunday school teacher. That's a great position, a very important position. Or work in children's church, whatever it is. It's important. Then we have an obligation, responsibility to influence them. And they need our influence. They need the right kind of influence. And all of us here tonight, we're instructed, for instance, in Matthew chapter 5, to be an influence for Jesus Christ. In that passage, Jesus teaches we're to be salt and light. Salt and light. And we're to let our light shine. That's how we do it. That's how we influence, by letting our light shine, by bearing a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us here tonight as adults, all of us parents and all adults, we need to know what it is not just to be saved, but to bear a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And to let our light shine before our children. And then we need to display before them the right kind of spirit. And sometimes we don't have the right spirit that we ought to have. And we need to have the right kind of spirit. And they need our influence. And so often we don't realize, none of us do, we don't realize how powerful influence can be out of our life. Most of the time here tonight, most of us don't realize how much we're influencing other people. And especially as adults, young people. And they need our influence. Each young person here tonight, listen, I don't care who it is. I want as many people as possible, I did when we were raising our children, to influence my children. We have two sons. And listen, I want anybody could contribute to be an influence upon my children. But that first responsibility was upon my shoulders and my wife, to be an influence upon them. And you have no idea how far your influence will go. And it's important to have the right kind of influence. If we tell our children, hey, you need to read your Bible, how much do we read our Bible? If we tell our young people, listen, you need to be a soul winner, you need to be concerned, how much do we witness? How much do we tell others about Christ? It's called influence. Influence. It's called letting our light shine before their eyes. And then the last thing here, we inspire them. Our children, our young people need to be inspired. And the best way to inspire them, I believe, is through example. All of us in this room tonight, every parent, every grandparent, and don't think, listen, I'm a grandparent. My boys are raised. But that doesn't mean my responsibility stops. We need to be an example to our grandchildren and still to our children. And it's important to be the right kind of example. Now, I just want to look at one last passage. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, here is Paul talking to Timothy. Now, Timothy's a young person, by the way. But this passage is not just for a young person. It's for all of us, and it ought to start with us who are adults. And he talks about being an example here. in verse 12. That's 1 Timothy 4:12. He says, but be thou an example of the believers. Be thou an example of the believers. And then he names six areas to be an example in. And they're all unbelievable important areas. He said, be an example in word. Oh, think of the awesome responsibility that we have as a parent. We're to be an example to our children. We're to inspire them by the right kind of words. Because, brother, words are powerful. And we better be careful how we speak to one another as a husband and wife, how we speak to our children, how we speak, by the way, about other people. I've worked with so many parents over the years, and I had parents couldn't figure it out. Oh, they put their kids, they were in my youth group, they put their kids in a Christian school, and all of a sudden they didn't turn out right. And they said, I don't understand. I had them in church all their life. They were in a Christian school. They were in the youth group. What happened to them? Well, what happens so often is that at that table, when a mom or dad or both sit there and using words to cut down the pastor, spiritual leadership. And I'm going to guarantee you this. The little ears hear it, and it goes down into the heart. And I will tell you this, it won't take a toll when they are a young child, but when they hit the teenage years, it will take a powerful toll upon their life. And all that rebellion we talk about and all those things, what happens when they're in a trap like that and they don't get out of it, if they don't get out of that trap, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to them. They're going to make the wrong kind of choices. They're going to marry wrong. And they're going to take that, all those different things of rebellion or immorality, whatever it is, into their marriage with them. The devil knows what he's doing. So the importance for our words, they're very important, everything we say. And then we're to be an example in conversation. That word conversation doesn't mean words. It means how we live. It means our lifestyle. And it is important how we live, no matter what anybody says. If we're saved, we need to live right. And if we've got children and young people, they got their... Listen, young people are not stupid. They're not stupid. It's rare. Did you know that it's rare when a youth pastor stays at a church like your pastor did for 18 years? You know how rare that is? I stayed nearly 14 years. You know how rare that is? That's rare. Do you know the average stay of a youth pastor in a church is a year and a half to 2 years? And they're gone? And young people's heads are spinning? Let me tell you something. Young people aren't stupid. They see through the false. And I'll tell you why a lot of those guys are gone that soon. They couldn't stay there because they weren't real. I know cases like that. And the young people saw through them. They're smart. They see. And what we do and how we live is important. So we're to be an example in conversation, our lifestyle. Then in charity, which is love. We're to love our children. No matter what. We're to love them. Hey, listen, they can hurt you. They can break your heart. I knelt down with too many parents who were brokenhearted. Like the night I knelt with the couple and their daughter sitting on the sofa, 6 months pregnant. And here's a brokenhearted mother crying, weeping, her heart broken. They can hurt you. They can break your heart. But we're to love them. And we're to show them agape love, sacrificial love, a love that's real. And then we're to be an example in our spirit and in purity. All these areas are so important to be an example in. So here's the great news tonight. Even though the devil is working constantly, not just about young people, but adults alike, putting traps all around us, we do not have to be defeated tonight. Not at all. If you have Jesus in your heart tonight, you have access to all you need to be the best parent you can be, the best adult you can be, the best young person you can be. It's just a matter of giving it all over to the Lord. And I hope all of us tonight will realize, see, when it comes to the home and the family, it's not just one person who has a responsibility. It's not just two, mom and dad. Young people also have a responsibility. And if there are young people in here tonight, talking back to your parents, giving them a hard time, maybe having bad feelings in your heart toward them, you need to get that right. You need to get it right with the Lord, and you need to get it right with your parents. And every parent in here tonight, let me tell you, this is an unbelievable day we live in, but it always has been. And the devil is real. And all of us here tonight need all the wisdom that we can get from God and all the power we can get from Him. And we have access to that. And we need to claim it tonight. Let's bow our heads. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're going to have a word of prayer tonight. And as we pray, I hope that you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you.